Our reading today is from Matthew chapter 19. It's not a long reading, it's only three verses, but we're still going to read them because it's important. So we're going to start reading at verse 13. Then people brought little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them and pray for them. But the disciples rebuked them. Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." When he had placed his hands on them, he went on from there. Kids, if you've got a pen and a sheet, then please do have it ready. The sheet more or less follows what's going to come up on the screen. There's also a few other things for you to do, and hopefully you'll be able to listen and take in some of the things we're going to look at. The story goes of someone going into a school to do an assembly on these verses. After the assembly finished, one of the teachers came up to this person. "You've just put me off from going to heaven," this person said. "I wasn't keen on the idea beforehand, and now I definitely don't want to be there." "Why?" the person answered. "Well, according to what you've just said, according to these verses, heaven is going to be full of children. I can't think of anything worse." You may well want to ask the question of why this person, working with children as a teacher, has this attitude. It's shocking. It's a true story. That person was me. The person doing the assembly, that is. The bigger question, though, from this passage is, surely, is that what Jesus is teaching here? What is Jesus saying in these verses? Why are they here? They seem a little bit odd, don't they, these verses? A little out of place. Very, very short account, three verses. We might want to skip over them to the bigger chunks. And yet we know that if we have a view of Scripture that says everything in it, every word is significant, every word is inspired from God, then there is something here for us. There is something significant about what Jesus is saying. The placement of these two accounts, of this account rather, between two others, if you look in your Bibles, is not accidental. Last week we covered the aspect of relationships, marriage, divorce, singleness. And straight after we have this aspect of children. One of the fruits sometimes in marriage is that children are born. And so there's a significance there of being placed right after a text on marriage. The other thing we notice from Matthew 19 is the way Jesus addresses, more specifically, how the Christian is to live. Or, as we thought of throughout this service, what kind of attitude they are to have. Jesus addresses our attitude to Christians with marriage, divorce, and singleness. Next week, our sacrificial attitude as he encounters a rich young ruler. This week, to children. And we're going to look at two things. Two things which hopefully will be helpful for us. First of all, Jesus welcomes all to come to him, even children. If you travel around towns and cities, you may well find this phrase outside their church building: "Jesus welcomes all." It's down at the church on North Avenue, St. Andrew's, outside there. "Jesus welcomes all." You may well think that's obvious. Why am I making that a point? Why does Jesus make this point? Well, if you travel back 2,000 years, society was very different. The culture was very different that Jesus was speaking into. Children were considered a blessing, just as they are today. They were treasured, looked after, cared for. And yet, their significance or importance within the layer of structure within the culture was quite low. They were quite low down. And that meant something significant for them. It meant that actually they were considered too young often to be taught anything. Too young to have faith of their own. Too young to be brought to Jesus. You see verse 13 in your Bibles. Then people brought little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on and pray for them. But then look, the disciples rebuked them. This should be able to maybe put a bit more color as to why they're rebuking them. People are bringing little children to Jesus. We'll come back to that little phrase, little children, and what it means in a second. But why are they bringing them? Well, the verse says, so Jesus can place his hands on them and pray for them. So children are brought to Jesus for him to bless them. And the disciples rebuke them. Well, what's that word them about? Who are they rebuking? Are they rebuking the children? No. They're rebuking the adults for bringing the children to Jesus. It's them who they're telling off. You might imagine them saying these kind of things to these adults who are bringing the children to Jesus. Don't bother Jesus with these children. They can't understand what they're doing. Jesus got more important things to do. People who will understand who he is and what he's saying. They're too young. Those are some of the words that the disciples might have used towards these adults who were bringing children. You ever heard that in the church? They're too young to understand. Too young to be in the service. They just won't understand. They're just too young to have faith of their own. But Jesus steps in verse 14. And he says, let the little children come to me and do not hinder them. Jesus is stepping into this way of thinking and encouraging his disciples to think differently, to have a different attitude for who the gospel is for who he is here for. The word here for little children is a Greek word called paidos, or paidon, depending on which singular or plural you're using. And that word is significant. Significant for this reason. It was usually associated and used to describe children who are between 3 and 10. Sometimes even between 3 and 7 years old. And he says, bring the little children, remember that context, little children, to me. Don't stop them. They are just as much in need of me as anyone else. Just as needy of faith. Now, if you are under 11, put your hand up. If you're under 11, wow. It was years since I was under 11. I look back on those days with fondness. Let me speak to you if you're under 11 right now. Okay? Ignore what you're doing. Look at me. All those under 11. Do you know what Jesus says to you? If you're under 11, if you're a child, a little child, do you know what his words are? Come to me. He says, you are never too young to know me. You're never too young to put your trust in me. That's what he says. You might not understand everything. You might not even understand big questions about the Bible. But Jesus says you are welcome to come to him, to pray to him, to learn of him. He has his arms open wide to you. You're never too young. You can understand Jesus loves you. You can understand that he's died for you. You can ask him to forgive you. That is you. If you're under 11, that is an encouragement from Jesus to you. I've come across a few kids in my time who give these excuses. You might have come across them as well. I'll think about Jesus when I'm a bit older. I'll think about Jesus when I've grown up a bit. I'll think about Jesus when I know a bit more. Well, is that what Jesus says here? Did Jesus say, well, hang on a minute, don't come to me yet, wait a little bit. wait till you're a bit older. No. Jesus says, come. Not tomorrow, not when you're 15, not when you're 30. Come to me as a child now. That's the invitation. Parents, you don't fit under the under 11 bracket. But the message is significant for us as well, isn't it? If we know Jesus welcomes all, even children, even little children, then what does that encouragement mean for us? Well, I think it means this. Do we, like one of the adults bringing them to Jesus in this story, do we do that with our own kids? Do we bring them to Christ? Do we think they're too young to think about it? Do we, from an early age, teach them, read from a Bible that they can understand? Do we pray with them? Do we answer their questions? Do we take the time to do that? Do we model for them how important Christ is in our lives? Because children look at that. Little children gaze up and look at the example we set. Life is busy, isn't it? It's chocker sometimes. Things seem out of control. You never seem to get everything done. But what slips off are weekly things? Well, if I'm honest with you, this is one thing. Spending time with children. Spending time reading with them. Through the Bible. Even a little children's Bible. Significant. It's important. Bringing people to Jesus. Bringing kids to Jesus. There's a mindset in this world that says kids must be entertained. Kids must never be bored. You heard that? As a young person training to be a teacher, I was told these words. Children cannot sit still for five minutes. You must not speak to them for longer than 6 minutes. That's what you were told as a teacher. Keep them active. Keep them entertained. Well, if you have your Bible, just flick back to Psalm chapter 78. In the church Bible, that's page 590. Because the Bible has a very different emphasis. The Bible has a very different way of looking at children and how we as adults are to treat them, our attitude to them. Psalm chapter 78. I'm just going to skim down a few of verses from verse 4. So this is the collective nation of Israel being encouraged to do these things. Verse 4, we will not hide them from our descendants. Hide what? We will tell the next generation, what are they going to tell them? The praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power, and the wonders he has done. Verse 5, he decreed, gave statutes for Jacob. Remember Jacob, father of Joseph that we covered before Christmas? And established the law in Israel, which he commanded our ancestors to teach their children. So the next generation would know them, even the children yet unborn. And they in turn would tell their children. Why is that so important? Verse 7, then they would put their trust in God and would not forget his deeds, but would keep his commands. See the emphasis there. But then look at verse 8, the warning. They would not be like their ancestors, a stubborn and rebellious generation whose hearts were not loyal to God, whose spirits were not faithful to him. See the warning. If you don't teach, you don't tell, the danger is you end up with hard hearts. Tell, teach, train for their own good. What might that look like for us? Well, that means blocking in time. Doesn't it? A little bit of time during the week to read with our children. It means bringing them along to kids' club and Sunday club where they can have someone else's input, spiritual input into our children. It means bringing them on a Sunday morning to services like this. They can sit and enjoy and listen. Maybe means bringing them along on a Sunday evening to church, experience a different type of church, less people, helping him to make notes. All little things, all tiny things, yet are all part of that telling, teaching, training. And if we believe that kids, like Jesus does, are able to understand, then we should have the same attitude to our children. If you're a wider church family, what does that mean for us? Well, that means we should pray for those young ones among us, isn't it? Pray for them. Pray that they would know Christ. They would accept him. Most of you do that. Many of you do that. So continue to do it. It means pray for parents as they juggle jobs, juggle the pressures of life, that they would find time to do the things that Christ wants. It might mean for some helping out with children's work, finding a few hours during the week and helping invest in children, helping them to grow and understand. Might mean that. The list could go on. But we should have an attitude like Jesus towards children, bringing them to him, committing them to him, teaching them, not hindering them. But this message of welcoming all doesn't just mean we do that for children. It pushes the boundaries out further than that. Think of someone who is disabled in some way, physically, emotionally, mentally. If young children are encouraged to be brought to Christ, then that should mean all, whatever their ability to understand, whatever difficulties they may have, you bring them to Christ. Think of those from hard backgrounds who know nothing of Christ, who know nothing of the Bible even. Do we just dismiss them and say, oh, there's no chance you're going to become a Christian, you don't know enough? Well, that's not what Jesus says. Bring them to me, he says. Just like Jesus spent time breaking down social mindsets with his disciples here, so we fight against them. We must not view anyone as unable to grasp the saving work of God through Christ. We must not put a boundary up and say they cannot believe. To do so is to limit the power of the Holy Spirit to work in people, to bring people to salvation, to change people. Our faith must be that God can do that through Christ, through the Holy Spirit. And maybe you're here this morning, you don't feel worthy or clever enough for Jesus. You don't feel like you know enough. Does Jesus say, well, hang on a minute, give it a few years, Jesus, come to me. Maybe you're here and you've been in church a while, but maybe you don't feel you know enough to become a Christian. Jesus says, come to me. I welcome you, no matter how much you believe, no matter how able you are. Maybe you're not confident enough to pray to Jesus, to act upon these things. We'll find someone to help you do that. But remember, Jesus loves to hear your words, loves to hear your voice. Listen to Jesus' words. Come to me with your childlike understanding and I will listen. I have died for you. I will listen to you. I will welcome you. Those are Jesus' words. But then Jesus moves his teaching on a little bit further. Look at verse 14 in your Bibles. Finish off this sentence. Jesus said, let the little children come to me. Do not hinder them. For the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. When he had placed his hands on them, he went on from there. Don't stop them from coming to me, Jesus says. You must be like them, Jesus says, because heaven belongs to such as these. So secondly, Jesus encourages childlike dependency. Well, what does that mean? Well, here's where you can get into pairs or threes. It's fairly warm. It's fairly sunny in here through the windows. Just for the person next to you, come up with five or six things that come to mind when you think of an infant. How would you describe an infant? What do they do? What are they like? Okay, 30 seconds, just for the person next to you. Just think. Chat. Try and think of positive things, not negative things. Now, positive. Not annoying. Not burdensome. What kind of things, what kind of words would you use to describe an infant? Someone between 3 to 7, maybe. What do you think?
Attached.
Attached. Trusting.
Sense of wonder.
Sense of wonder, yeah. Dependent.
Inquisitive.
Full of questions. It's interesting, isn't it? Here are some of the words that I thought of. So you've got joyful. Kids are fairly joyful at that age, aren't they? They're fairly excitable, especially when their granddad's around. They're always full of questions. They're always keen to learn. And yet probably the big one, probably the best way of describing a child, an infant, is that they are dependent. They are dependent on someone. There's something marvellous about being greeted by an infant, isn't there? Even if it wraps its leg, arms around your leg. I have the great joy at the moment of whenever I come in my front door, there being a daddy back. And the two youngest twins, Amy and Rosie, come running up. And they wrap their arms around my leg. It's joyful, exuberant, non-judgmental. It's wonderful. Now, you may well know that that doesn't stay the same forever. It goes from an embrace with a hug to maybe a one-arm hug as they grow up. The one-arm hug might turn to a high five. The high five might turn into a, what's up? And the what's up then turned into a grunt of acknowledgement. You get the pattern. And growing up is natural, isn't it? We want kids to grow up. It's part of life. But as you grow up, what kind of things happen? What kind of things change? Well, you become a little bit more self-assured, don't you? A little bit more confident in your own ability to handle situations, to handle things. Maybe a bit of confidence that we know best. Maybe a bit of confidence that we can sort out our own problems. We don't need to go to mum or dad anymore. We can sort them out ourselves. We become a little bit wiser as we gain life experience. All those things are natural and good. And yet Jesus says something different here, doesn't he? But is Jesus saying that you should always be like a Peter Pan figure? That you should never grow up? Well, no, he's saying in your faith, in your relationship with God, you should never lose that childlike dependence that you had when you first came to faith. Never lose that childlike dependence on Him. During the month of prayer in the last few weeks, it's probably one of the most noticeable things, isn't it, that came up. Dependence. We looked at David's prayer in Psalm 86, full of dependence on God. We looked at the Lord's Prayer where we prayed to our Father. We had that read out for us and prayed through. Our Father, full of dependence upon His goodness, our Father's goodness. In growth groups this week, we looked at Psalm 3 where we were considering this aspect of worry and anxiety. And what did the psalmist say? Trust in God, depend on Him. Dependence. And so the question that we have to ask ourselves is, are we in danger of losing that childlike dependence that Jesus encourages here? He wants us to grow up. He wants us to mature. And yet with our relationship with our Heavenly Father, there should always be a childlike dependence. A dependence that He is the only one I turn to. Sometimes pride enters our hearts and stops us doing that. Sometimes we might grow in our knowledge and grow in our wisdom and we kind of think, well, I've kind of outgrown my Heavenly Father. I don't need Him as much as I used to. Sometimes we might even look down on those who maybe don't know as much as us. And we look at them in with a kind of childlike status and we think, oh, aren't we better than them? I know far more. I've been a Christian far longer. Sometimes even that feeds in. Well, Paul writes to the church in Philippi, and he writes these words. And listen to these. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset, the same attitude as Christ Jesus. What is Christ Jesus like? Being very nature God, he did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, from the throne room of heaven to death as a man, even death on a cross. Then Paul says, therefore, my dear friends, in other words, this is how you are to make note of this. This is your example. Therefore, as my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, not only when I was with you, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with trembling and fear. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. What's Paul saying in those verses? Don't forget your childlike dependence. Don't forget how you've been treated. And let that childlike dependence on God spill out to those around you. Make sure that you don't judge others. Make sure that you don't hold a kind of power above them. Depend on your Father. Let it spill out. Let that dependence spill out to others. That is the message that Jesus says in these three verses. He welcomes all, even children, whatever their faith, whatever their understanding. But he also encourages childlike dependence to all who come to him. No matter how old we are, no matter how long we've been a Christian, never lose that childlike dependence on our Father. Let's read finish with these words. From Philippians, therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God our Father. Amen.